Chapter 14, Stars on the National Stage. As television became a part of everyday life after the 1960s, North Carolinians became more familiar to all Americans. It seemed that every year another native of the state gained national attention and admiration. Why? Because North Carolinians could be determined, competitive people. They worked hard to achieve their goals. They let adversity take them to the next step up. In the 1976 Olympics, for example, Leroy Walker became track coach of the U.S. team after decades of being overlooked at North Carolina Central University. Dean Smith of UNC won a gold medal as the basketball coach, even though he did not win the college national title until 6 years later. Some Tar Heels stood out even among these notable North Carolinians. Two of the most recognizable natives of our state in the last decades of the 20th century were a woman who devoted herself to public service and a man who became world famous by perfecting his athletic skills. Elizabeth Hanford Dole, who grew up in Salisbury in the 1950s, told childhood friends that, "I want to be the first woman president of the United States." She went to Duke University, then to Harvard Law School, at a time when young women were expected to marry and settle down. She went to work in Washington, D.C., in the federal office that helped consumers with their problems. She was then appointed to the Federal Trade Commission and married Senator Bob Dole of Kansas. Later, she served in the cabinets of two presidents, Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. In 1991, she became the head of the American Red Cross. In 1996, Bob Dole ran for president, and Elizabeth could have become First Lady. In 1999, at the urging of many North Carolinians, she decided to run for president herself. She did not win, but she did become one of the most widely accomplished women in American politics in the 20th century. Michael J. Jordan, who grew up in Wilmington during the civil rights turmoil of the 1960s, wanted to win at every game he played. By the time he was a junior in the recently integrated Laney High School, he had become a star basketball player. The UNC All-American went on to the National Basketball Association and became a star for the Chicago Bulls. He also became one of the most recognizable people in the world. Almost everyone associated with basketball in the 20th century agreed, Jordan was the best player ever, period. These accomplishments came just a generation after segregation when Michael's parents could not go to white schools. The last decades of the 1900s were heady times for North Carolina. It moved from being a manufacturing state to one involved in the many new technologies sweeping the world. It diversified its politics and its economy. The state became a model for the rest of the nation. Section 1. The Republicans Restore Political Balance. As you read, look for the growth of the Republican Party in the state resulting in a two-party system, the effects of the Civil Rights Movement and the ERA on political thinking in the state, notable politicians of the period, and the following terms: Equal Rights Amendment, ERA, and subsidy. In November 1972, North Carolinians awoke to shocking news. For the first time in 72 years, their governor-elect was a Republican. Their newly elected U.S. Senator was a Republican, too, the first since 1903. The election marked a watershed turning point for North Carolina in the 20th century. By the late 1970s, North Carolina had helped the National Republican Party change the course of the federal government. By the 1980s, North Carolina once again had a two-party system like it had in the 1800s. The basis for the rebound. No Republican had won statewide election since the white supremacist Democrats had eliminated the black vote in the early 1900s. During the early decades of one-party rule in the state, Republicans seldom had a chance. They put up only token opposition. Some years, they barely had any members in the state legislature. When the Democrats were at their peak during the New Deal years, only in Uwharrie counties like Randolph and Davidson and in Foothills counties like Yadkin and Wilkes did Republicans win at all. The Republicans began to make their comeback during the 1940s when the prosperity created by World War II spread across the state. As North Carolinians began to have more choices after the war, many citizens in the West chose to return to their Republican roots. Republican Charles Jonas of Lincolnton served several terms in Congress after 1950. When Democrat Terry Sanford was elected governor in 1960, most of the western counties went for his opponent. The coming of the civil rights movement in the 1960s convinced some North Carolinians to vote for Republicans. They believed that Democrats in northern states had pushed racial change on them. Often, these North Carolinians became ticket splitters. They voted for Republicans for national office, but stayed with Democrats on the local level. After so many black citizens registered under the Voting Rights Act, North Carolina once again became a sectional state. Democrats controlled the East, Republicans were a strong presence in the West. Jim Holzhauser of Boone, who was elected governor in 1972, had carefully built up the Republican Party in the mountain counties. Holzhauser also worked hard to gain votes in the Piedmont counties, where textile towns like Gastonia were undergoing change. Holzhauser won, however, because he got a big boost from the statewide support for Republican Richard Nixon, who was re-elected president in 1972. Nixon's cautious, more conservative approach to civil rights and the Vietnam War appealed to many. In fact, many North Carolinians of the day supported turning back many of the liberal ideas passed by the federal government in the 1960s. For example, North Carolina refused to ratify the proposed Equal Rights Amendment, ERA, to the U.S. Constitution. The amendment said that Americans could not discriminate against someone because of gender. It was particularly regarded as a measure for women to gain more equality in wages, law enforcement, and personal advancement. The ERA controversy divided the state almost as evenly in the 1970s as had sectionalism in the 1830s. Conservatives, however, won out, defeating several attempts to have the state legislature ratify the amendment. Senator No. The Republican who benefited most from the 1972 Republican landslide victory was Jesse Helms, who was elected to the U.S. Senate. Helms, who had attended Wake Forest College before it was moved to Winston-Salem, had been a Democrat. He did not like the changes occurring in the nation or the state. During the 1960s, he became a Republican. Helms gained influence as a commentator for the Raleigh television station WRAL. Each evening, for 5 minutes, Helms gave his view on current events to the residents of the coastal plain counties. He hinted that communists might be involved in some of the liberal changes like civil rights. He also criticized the 1960s federal innovations like Medicare as socialized medicine and strongly defended government price supports for tobacco. Once in Washington, Helms quickly became a nationally known figure. He supported the idea of limited government set out by Nathaniel Macon in the early 1800s. Northerners, and some embarrassed North Carolinians, referred to him as Senator No because he seemed to vote against every measure that seemed even a little liberal. Helms, however, became one of the most effective senators of the 20th century. He influenced national decisions on foreign policy and slowed the growth of national spending. He defended the subsidies, grants of money, paid to North Carolina tobacco farmers, even as evidence increased about the health risks of smoking. He won re-election 4 times. Helms also greatly influenced the direction of the National Republican Party. He helped make it more conservative. He became allied with groups that wanted to outlaw abortion, restore school prayer in the public schools, and eliminate busing as a way to achieve integration. His own fundraising office in Raleigh took advantage of new technology to solicit donations from like-minded citizens across the nation, and the party copied him. Helms was also an early supporter of Ronald Reagan, the conservative governor of California. Reagan's eventual election as president in 1980 began when Helms helped him win the North Carolina presidential primary in 1976. A balance of power in Raleigh. In North Carolina, Jim Holzhauser moved the state in a more conservative direction, even though the Democrats remained a majority in the legislature. Holzhauser particularly succeeded in reorganizing state government, based upon constitutional amendments passed in the state in 1971. The Constitution of 1971 consolidated a number of state offices into larger departments, which in turn were split into divisions. For the first time, the governor could name the head of a department. This allowed better direction. During the Holzhauser years, the Democrats were led by Lieutenant Governor Jim Hunt. The Wilson County farmer, a graduate of NC State, was elected governor in 1976. Hunt skillfully used the state's new administrative divisions to build up the power of the governor's office. He also convinced the legislature in 1977 that it was time for North Carolina to allow the governor to serve more than one term. When that amendment to the state constitution was ratified, Hunt, in 1980, became the first governor reelected in the 20th century. After Republican Jim Martin served as governor for two terms in the 1980s, Hunt ran again and was elected governor twice more during the 1990s. His 20 years in office as lieutenant governor and governor were the longest service in the state's highest executive offices since Gabriel Johnston in the colonial period. During the Hunt and Martin years, North Carolina argued and debated the best way to serve its citizens. Most of all, the state leaders tried various ways to provide better education for school children and to take better care of disadvantaged citizens. The state instituted kindergarten and Head Start, two programs designed to help very young children. For years, Governor Hunt supported a series of programs called Smart Start, which worked to give poorer children in the state a better chance to succeed once they got to the first grade. Class sizes were made smaller, and tests were put into place to measure progress. Changing patterns of representation. Political change occurred throughout the 1990s. In 1988, the Republicans elected enough representatives to influence legislation. They joined with more conservative Democrats to elect new leadership in the General Assembly. In 1991, Dan Blue of Wake County, a Democrat, became the first African-American Speaker of the House in state history. In 1995, Harold Brubaker of Randolph County became the first Republican Speaker. In addition, the number of women in the General Assembly grew from 1 in 1971 to 18 at the start of the 1990s. 1/4 of the women representatives came from Mecklenburg County. National offices followed the same pattern as the legislature. Almost all the U.S. representatives elected in the West during the last decades of the century were Republicans. More Democrats were elected in the East, including Eva Clayton, a North Carolina Central graduate. Mrs. Clayton of Littleton, the first African-American female from North Carolina to be elected to the U.S. Congress, was elected 4 times. In the West, Melvin Watt of Charlotte was repeatedly returned to the Congress during the 1990s from one of the strangest shaped districts in state history. Because of federal laws, the state was required to set up some congressional districts where a majority of residents were minorities. The state created a long, twisting district that went from Durham to Charlotte close to the interstate. This caused controversy in the state because the district both cut through old white-dominated areas and isolated blacks into one district. It looks like some varmint you see in the microscope in high school biology class, said one critic. The efforts, however, resulted in the state having a balance of the two political parties in Congress.